Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. The text for today's sermon is the gospel reading which you heard read earlier. Yeah, if you want to leave this life in a hurry, spend all your time on work and worry. That line from a country singer that I used to listen to, Daryl Worley, called Work and Worry, warns what can happen when one worries. Yeah, if you want to leave this world in a hurry, spend all your time on work and worry. Well, in the Bible, there are no shortage of commands to work, to serve. Actually, we embrace that as a good thing. That didn't come through in this song, but we actually see a lot more passages in Scripture on the commands not to worry. Listen again to these from today's gospel reading. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If you then are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. Thus says our Lord. Well, we know from our own experiences that worry is one of the worst investments that we can make. It is really a royal waste of time, if you will. One estimate that I read said this regarding the things that people worry about. I don't know how scientifically accurate this is, but it makes sense to me. Here it goes. 40% of the things we worry about are things that will never happen. 30% are about things that can't be changed anyway. 12% are about criticism from others that's mostly untrue. 10% is about our health, which of course gets worse with worry. And then only 8% are about real problems that we can face and we need to face. A British executive named J. Arthur Rank illustrates the folly of worry. He had this, he was diagnosed with a worry-borne stomach ulcer, so he used some of his business acumen and strategy to figure out a way to address this problem, and he came up with this approach. He decided to do all his worrying on one day a week, which, by the way, happened to be Wednesday. So what he did was, when anything happened that caused him anxiety or annoyed his ulcer, he would write it down and put it in what he called his worry box. And then he would forget about it until next Wednesday. I don't know if I could do that, but he did. The interesting thing he reported was that on the following Wednesday, when he opened his worry box, he found that most of the things that had disturbed him the past 6 days were already settled. You see, it would have been useless to have worried about them anyway. But it doesn't really matter how useless it is. Worry is still a problem, even for the disciples of Jesus Christ, as we see from so many passages encouraging us not to worry. So today's sermon is a sermon on this worry-freeing text to give you one more encouragement to do just that, to not worry. Well, how do you approach that? First of all, we need to say what worry is. It's sin. If you are to begin to deal with worrying, you must first acknowledge that worry is sin, and really sin, when you think about it, that is no less serious than blasphemy. Our worry is sin, first of all, because it is directly contrary to the way God created us to live. The illustrations Jesus uses in this text kind of bring that home. the natural way for us to live as the humans God created is to be dependent and trust in Him. Secondly, worry is sin because it makes us unproductive and keeps us from living for God and for others, for doing the work that God calls us to do it well. But most of all, it's sin because it's unbelief. I sometimes refer to it as functional atheism. It's living as if there is not God caring about us, if He doesn't exist. Or it's telling Him, I don't trust you that you'll take care of me, so I'm going to have to worry about all of these things. Jesus addresses this in our text. He says, consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? O you of little faith? For all the nations of the world seek after these things, he says, and your Father knows that you need them. And in Matthew's gospel, Jesus says that when we worry, we're acting like pagans, like unbelievers. It's nicely captured in the hymn that we just sang as well. Yes, worry is sin. It's not living by God's design. It's not trusting God. And Jesus says to us worriers, O you of little faith. What do we do then? What do we do when we see our sin? When we recognize that we are blowing it, that we acknowledge that we worry a lot and realize that really we have a bigger problem with our worry than the things that we're worrying about usually. Oh, you of little faith. So here's what we do. We started off today's service with one of those things. We confess our sin to God. We acknowledge that we are sinners. And then, knowing the absolution, we thank God that He sent Jesus, the only perfect non-worrier to ever live. The Father sent Him to us. When He first came to people on this earth, Jesus observed, they're harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And then He went to work to serve those sheep. Those lost and anxious sheep with their sin-infested lives. He lived perfectly. He was one with the Father, always in prayer, not doubting or turning away, fearlessly suffering the judgment of the law on our sin, on our failure to fear, love, and trust in God above all things. Yes, Jesus died and rose from the dead to pay for all of your sins, including the sin of worry and failure to trust in your Heavenly Father. With that in mind, consider that Jesus commands here not to worry in love. Yes, these are firm commands. He means business. He wants your trust. He's a jealous God, after all, and He doesn't want you trusting in other gods. But He says, do not be anxious about your life because you don't need to. Your Heavenly Father knows what you need, and He loves you. One of my favorite illustrations of what it is like to trust in God with your life is an activity that I always enjoy doing with youth in our congregation. And we did it often. We would do it at camp, and I often looked for a camp that had a high ropes course. Because this ropes course, perhaps some of you have participated in a high ropes course, is an activity that helps you overcome fear and anxiety. And I think it's a great illustration of faith, the kind of faith we heard about in the epistle today. Let me explain what I mean by this. So, a high ropes course, if you're not familiar with it, is an obstacle course. It's something that you have to go through where you walk on a balance beam, you have to go on cables, you overcome obstacles and all of that. But the catch is that all of this is done at least 30 feet in the air with open space between you and the ground. So if you can imagine being up about as high as where the rafters start in this chapel, and there you walk across a narrow balance beam. There you swing from ropes, whatever the particular obstacles are. That changes things, right? It creates fear and anxiety, especially if someone's afraid of heights. You climb this small ladder, you get up there, and you go through this course. Well, what is the key here? How does this help people overcome fears? Wouldn't it just heighten their fears? The answer is that you learn to trust that even though this looks scary, you are perfectly safe. You are perfectly safe. And the reason for that is, before you start the course, before you even go off of the ground, you get strapped into secure harnesses that will make sure that even if you stumble and fall, you'll only fall a couple of feet at the most. And what that happens is after you get up there and you see this below and you start to fear, they say, okay, just fall off for a minute and let it catch you. See that it works. And you begin to trust this security system that you're in, and the fear, the irrational fear as it turns out, starts to go away. Learning to trust in the support system that promises to take care of you is what makes this work. And therein lies the illustration. Facing fear is about trusting God. And you might think of the security system the Holy Spirit uses to keep you in place are those tangible means where he locates his promises for you in your baptism. There you can remember that God is for you. He put his name on you. You're secure and safe in the grace of Christ. And all those promises from God are for you. Or consider when you come to this altar, emptying your worry box, if you will, into the gracious hands of Christ as you receive the body and blood of the Lord, promising to be with you. Jesus will support and secure you no matter what you face. He will provide for you as he does the birds and the flowers. He promises that he is more capable of helping you face whatever obstacles you have before you than anything else. Whether that anxiety is a test, whether that anxiety comes from having to have a difficult conversation, or just looking at an uncertain future. In our cases, it's not so much worrying about whether we're going to have food or clothing, but it doesn't really matter. The sinful flesh always finds something to have anxiety about. And so you can come back and say, I am baptized. I have that promise of Christ being with me and for me. And you've had that promise from the beginning of your life of faith, and Jesus promises he will see you through to the end. And lo, I will be with you always to the very end of the age. Which brings us to the final obstacle, you might say, in the challenge course of life. It is, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, you not only have his security and support throughout this life, he is there to deliver you even when this life ends. He is there to take you to your heavenly home. You don't even need to fear death or hell. Jesus promises his harassed and helpless little sheep, behold, it is my good pleasure to give you the kingdom. This is something that you have a foretaste of now at this altar, as you come here and receive by faith the promises of Jesus. And it's something you will know in its fullness when the same Lord returns to bring you new life in his new eternal kingdom. So, you have nothing to fear. You are free now to work and study without worry, free to serve as his disciples for his kingdom that has no end, even as the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keeps and guards your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.